does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side is my good buddy and partner in crime, Ra's al Ghul. No, I'm just kidding. Due to his choice in facial hair here, it's actually Nathan Gorzinski.
Hi, yeah, I'm the evil twin version of myself, like they used to do on Star Trek, like evil Spock with the mustache, the goatee.
Yeah, you definitely look sinister, my friend.
I try.
See, it's not even necessarily a Ra's al Ghul, which sounds like a dish my nana used to make, the goulash. You get some salt and pepper going on there. And the salt kind of has this little look on your chin.
Yeah, I'm lucking out. I've got the weird pattern to the gray where it's like, yeah, like two lines of it going down. It's almost like J. Jonah Jameson from the Spider-Man, where you have the white and the black, that pattern. We got a lot of comics references.
Yeah, that's right how away. Cool we are. Yeah. Indeed. Well, you know, your beard and my beard have some vast differences, so I kind of envy the way that yours looks. Mine is just really gray and wispy.
It's got the gray, but you've got the opposite. You've got the two dark lines going down. It's like where mine are two white. So is that saying yours is like mostly salt with a little pepper?
Yeah.
And I'm still mostly pepper.
Yeah, this is called the going gone. That's what this is known as. But you know what? It's great to be talking to you no matter what you got on your face. It's been a little bit. And, you know, we haven't talked to the audience in quite a while. So, hey there out there. Hi.
Hi.
How people. You be? What's going on? We celebrated some holidays, or I think we celebrated.
Yeah.
Nate, you know, you being an atheist, what was Christmas all about for you? It's just, you know, capitalism and
anxiety.
Anxiety. Yeah. I was going to say murdering trees to adorn your living room.
There you go.
But you still celebrate Christmas, right? You had a good old hootenanny there.
Yes, and I mean, yes, we did gather, you know, Carly and I with Joey having a boy who's, I mean, he's luckily up there where he's not like a little kid where you have to keep it sacred and there's Santa Claus and all these things. And it's like he's 15. He's kind of like, oh, cool. He gave me some, you know, money or whatever for Christmas. And he doesn't expect a lot of like crazy decorations and all this stuff. We literally did not have a single Christmas decoration, except like a couple cards we had gotten in the mail from people that we put on the fridge, but no, we didn't put anything out. And
wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Carly's mother lives upstairs from us and she kind of, I mean, she doesn't go crazy, but there were Christmas adornments up there. So if Joey wanted, he could go up there and hang out and get a little Christmassy.
There you go. So. Just go up the stairs, see grandma.
Yeah, man. Good. That's what grandma's for anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Keeping I find this holiday special.
Yeah, cookies. Did she make cookies?
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, there we go.
She's a baker.
We're on to something. She is a baker. You know, having a stepson who's 15 who doesn't care about all that stuff, when you said give him money,
yeah,
video games or whatever, I was thinking, hey, maybe it's time to get him a call girl. Imagine how great of a present that would have been if you were 15.
I agree, but I think I'd probably get some kind of weird sex offender charge for doing something like that. You know, just introducing that whole thing to him. I just feel like, you know, if he squealed, I guess if he didn't rat in the prostitute or whoever didn't rat, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to talk to him, see what, you know.
Yeah, see what's up with that. I mean, you'd also have to, like, look at your budgetary constraints because, You know, if it's a young man, his first exploration into that area, you don't want to get him some trashy broad.
Right.
From a truck stop. Yeah, you got to get him some high-end quality fun there.
You know? Sure. That's like, I just think of the stories of like Russell Brand said his father was kind of like that with him, and Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Sure, sure.
Notoriously was, he grew up really fast because his father, yeah, just would bring him to parties, do drugs with him, get him prostitutes, all that shit. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Six, here's some coke.
Maybe they'll turn out to be, maybe Joey will turn out to be a famous comedian or musician if I do these things.
Well, I don't know if I've told this story on air before, but when my brother turned 18,
yeah,
you know, that's the rite of passage to go to the titty bar.
Sure.
To go to the nudie club, see some skin.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, man, it's your birthday. Let me treat you. Let's go out. And I took him to like the most slimiest dive nudie bar in the entire town. And you might remember the place in Worcester, Massachusetts called the Lamplighter 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, just to kind of elaborate a little bit, and if he is listening, to embarrass him thoroughly, he didn't know what to do or the proper etiquette when you're in such an establishment. And the caliber of dancer was not very high.
Yeah, not at the Lamplighter 2.
No, I don't know about the original Lamplighter, but the sequel was pretty shoddy as far as the talent. Well, anyway, there was a older Asian woman who had a lot of beads on. And when she came out, she brought like a dish towel. I don't know if they were using it to like clean beer glasses. Hold on. Just wait. We'll talk about fluids.
Okay.
Well, maybe not. I don't know if I want to gross anybody out. Who knows? Maybe you're eating and not driving when you're listening to this, but she would put the dish towel down and then get on her knees and rub herself with the beads. And now, so I'm sitting there having a beer and I look at my brother and he doesn't know what to do. So he's giving her money. I'm like, oh, this dumb bastard. So I just take my beer. I just casually kind of sneak away. I'm like, all right, well, let me go over to the bar. And I just watch him. And the whole time he keeps feeding her and feeding her the money. So she's not going away.
Yeah.
And the whole time.
Seagull.
Like a seagull, exactly, yes. She keeps going, you want private dance? Private dance? And my brother's like, at least he said no to that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from that, just one dancer alone, I think he spent all of his money. And I felt bad. I'm like, well, you know, the poor woman looked like her uterus was about to fall out of the stage. Maybe that's why she had the dish towel there. Oh, I don't know. In case of emergency, you know.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so I guess the moral of this story, if there is one at all, is that if you are going to gift somebody that kind of activity or entertainment, you might want to ante up a little bit.
Yeah, brief them ahead of time, debrief them. What is that, debriefing or briefing?
Brief. No, I think that's briefing. Debriefing is after.
Okay, thank you.
So,
But
how do the beads make you feel, Matthew? That's the debriefing. But, you know, in all honesty, it made for an interesting story that has stood the test of time.
Sure, sure. So, and enough time has gone by where you can laugh about it. You know, some of those stories at the moment, they're no fun. But.
Oh, they were fun. Now I laugh my ass off.
For you?
Time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, indeed, lemon squeezy. I sure as heck did. So, and there's no way, please, everybody, don't think that we're endorsing buying someone a prostitute or a call girl as a gift for Christmas. I'm just saying if I was 15 or 16, that would have been like, holy cow, best Christmas ever.
Yeah, man. You know, I don't know. I just feel like I never had like a thing for strip clubs. My brother was a bartender at a few strip clubs when I was growing up. It was like some of his first jobs were bartending for strip clubs. And I don't know. I think I went to visit him like once or twice, but I just, at that time, I was never really the type to, I didn't find a lot of entertainment in that. I'm like, I don't know. I was young. I'm like, I'll go fucking date a chick or pick someone up, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And then as I've gotten older now, I'm like, you know, I can see the value in something like that now that I'm old and I'm in a relationship, a committed relationship. I haven't gone, but I'm just like, you know, it's nice to see something different once in a while. I'm not a cheating type, so I wouldn't do that. I just mean, just, you know, I'm old. I'm a perverted old man now. I want
to
like.
Yeah, but you know. Then when you become of legal age to partake in such an activity.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that was taboo. Like, now I get to do it.
Yeah.
I haven't been personally to a strip club in like 20 years at least. At least.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a long time.
Right.
But when you say, yeah, I'm a dirty old man, now I can go. I'm like, yeah, you fucking pull out your phone. You want to see yeah. something different.
I guess you're right, you know, but it's, you know, I don't know. I think I'm just getting to that age, Dave, where I'm like, yeah. you know, life is passing me by and, you know, I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy in my relationship. I am totally comfortable with the life I live. But, you know, once in a while I'm like, wow, I'm too old to where a younger woman would not even look at me. Like if I was looking wow. at someone in public, it's almost like, oh, there's that creepy ass dude. What's he looking at?
Yeah.
Now,
you know? Yeah. Isn't that something? You got to be careful of what you are, in fact, looking at.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But I just mean legal age girls. Still, it's like if I'm, you know, I feel
well, that's
like
what I was saying.
Somebody...
I wasn't saying you're outside of fucking school peeping guy.
All right.
But you know what I mean? If you were like shopping.
Yeah.
And a beautiful young 25-year-old walks by you. You go, geez, well, that's out of the range now.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to be the father.
Yeah, man. You know?
Not good. Not good, Nate. So this thought crosses your mind quite a bit, huh?
Well, not quite a bit. Just lately I've noticed it, you know. Yeah,
all the time, sure.
Yeah, another year passes.
You're thinking about this every day. It's cool. No, it's funny because before you started bringing that up, I was going to say, oh, yeah, strip clubs endorse small business or support small business.
Sure.
And then you're like, yeah, I can't even look at a girl anymore without thinking, nah.
I'm old.
Wrong.
Yeah.
I'm an old motherfucker.
Acutely aware of it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is painful. It's one of the hard things about getting older.
Yeah.
Is realizing your mojo has dried up.
Right.
Flaked off and flown away.
Yeah. This is the quintessential midlife crisis. I'm at that age where I should buy a sports car or something, you know?
Yeah. You could. You could. Yeah. I have no interest in sports cars personally.
Me neither.
I, on the other hand, rather than buying something speedy, went a little crazy and purchased some plastic. I've gone action figure gaga, goo, sick.
Wow. That's like a early life crisis, but you're having it in midlife crisis.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that just absolutely nuts? Well, if you think about it like this, when we were kids, the action figures and stuff, they weren't collectible. You played with them and you lost them in the creek or you at the beach or you traded them with your friends. And now...
Yeah.
You understand not only the value of things in general, but the power of nostalgia. And you want to put them on display to bring you some sort of happiness. Now, you know, Nate, they say that the anticipation of doing something or acquiring something far exceeds the actual satisfaction you would get by doing that activity. For example, the excitement of going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It's palpable. You're just like, oh, I'm going on vacation in a week. The joy is just immense. But then when you're on vacation, it's almost like you crash and you're like, oh, it's not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Mm.
Right? The same could be said a lot of times when you are investing in collectibles or, as I referred to it earlier, as plastic. Ooh, I really want this. Oh, yeah, this is going to look good on my shelf. And then you get on your shelf, you go, yeah, okay, it's cool. Do you sit there and ogle it? Like Nate would a young girl in a convenience store? Not necessarily. Sometimes you do. But, you know, everybody measures their joy in different ways. Mm. But, yeah, I bought so many action figures, dude. It's off the chain. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
I need to be punished.
Dude, that's there's nothing wrong with that, man.
You sure?
I think so. I think, you know, it's another version of that, like, we're old and I want to see things from when I was young. It's like the same thing I'm talking about, but it's, you know, not going to get you in trouble. Well, I was going to say it's not going to get you in trouble with the misses, but that depends on how much you're spending on the plastic.
Yeah. No, I made a pact with my wife, that the end of 2021 would be the end of my purchases as well. But I lied, you wow. see. And some would say, well, it's not written anywhere. You didn't formalize a contract. There's no lawyer, no notary public. This wasn't written in blood.
True.
But as you well know, when you are involved in a relationship, especially one that has lasted as long as mine, mm-hmm. the moment that air passes my lips to utter something,
yeah.
it is set in stone. It is a something you can't take back.
Sure.
Ever.
Sure.
So
the best yeah. you can hope for is to find some kind of technicality you can get off on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've been trying to a little bit here or there, but with little to no success.
Yeah, man.
Well, but, you know, the thing is, Nate, I feel like if I see something I like, just get it. Just do it, man. Life is short. Fucking go enjoy it. If I want to spend $20 on a Superman action figure, I might as well. And not to mention, sometimes I don't buy something and then I regret it later because it jumps up in price and I'll never own that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Listen, man, I just received some packages in the mail of just like band t-shirts. That's kind of like my little indulgence here and there. I'm like, oh, I like a band t-shirt. And again, it's same thing from bands I liked when I was young most of the time. Some of them aren't even around anymore, but it's like, it brings me joy, you know, yeah. something about it.
But yeah, no, totally. And that, you know, you in a way you collect those shirts, right? You may wear them, so it's not like you're trying to keep them in pristine condition or anything, but they represent right. something to you and they adorn your flesh.
That's true, man. You know, it's
really
functional, a functional collectible, I guess, you know, but
yeah, I dig it. A lot of people pay a lot of money for that stuff too.
Oh yeah. Nowadays, man, some of the shirts I'll see online, the money that some of these shirts are, people will pay for worn t-shirts, like, you know, with natural wear and tear. It's like, oh, that's a, you know, 1994 Kiss concert from, or whatever, concert t-shirt rather from whatever. It's like, even if it's old and has a rip or two in it, it's like people are like, that's authentic and they'll pay depending. But yeah. I've seen shirts upward of, yeah, $60, you know, wow. or $100 for certain shirts. I'm like, damn, man, I wish I kept some of those or,
yeah. oh, yeah.
you know, because I had a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, we both did. I mean, everybody in our generation, that was like a thing too, because I don't know if it feels the same or if it's necessarily even, I don't know, close to the same exact thing. But in the 90s, right? You dyed your hair. You got a piercing. You wore an obscure band t-shirt because you were putting what your personality was literally on your sleeve, right? You were saying to the world, I am different. I am unique. This is me.
Yeah.
Now, when you wear those shirts, I mean, it's much more commonplace for people to, you know, wear kind of more random stuff. But yet again, you're putting that out there. So maybe, like, let's say, what shirt you're wearing right now? You're wearing the Future Sound of London.
Right.
I'm looking at. Maybe you're out shopping and someone says, hey, man, cool shirt. I love that band.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that interaction? Do you want that connection? Or do you just want someone to be quiet and be like, he's cool?
Either way.
Okay.
But I'll say I have a Skinny Puppy tattoo. This band, Skinny Puppy, my favorite band, you know, my whole life. And it's rare, but once in a while, a person will say, holy shit, is that a Skinny Puppy tattoo? Because it's one of those things you don't see very often, and I don't see people that know it very often. So you do make contact usually, and you'll at least acknowledge each other. And it's, yeah, man, it's cool. We're both like, wow, it's almost like being part of some kind of secret club, you know, whatever it is. But same thing with the shirt.
Dope.
Yeah.
That is dope. I mean, talking about shirts and action figures, you know, I always wonder, is there someone out there with nothing, like no collector's habit? Right? Because I can get into the mind of a lot of different types of people. I can empathize with how people operate or how their brain works. At least I like to think so.
Uh-huh.
Right? So someone who has an addiction, for example, I've kind of been there. So I understand that need to fill that void with something or, to tickle your nostalgia noodle and buy this and add to your collection or what have you.
Yeah.
Is there someone out there who has no interests whatsoever, goes home to a white room and just sits there idle as time passes by? Because everybody's got something, right? Everybody has something they're passionate about or likes to indulge in.
Yeah, man. Things that bring you joy. Like, I was going to say, I think some people travel, some people, you know, everyone has their little thing that they spend their money on. But yeah, imagine somebody that's just, I go to work, I come home, and the money just sits there. It's like, what? It's just, you have to spend your money on something. Everybody's got to have some kind of, yeah, like you said, an addict. It's like, people spend their money on drugs. People spend their money on booze. Some people are like, I'm going to go out for a really nice dinner this weekend or whatever it may be. It's like, everyone's got something, man. We're a consumer culture, so you're not going to find somebody. That's like talking about a monk somewhere. It's like, I just literally sit there. I have no worldly interests, and I just am zen and fucking, I don't know. But then again, a monk's not making a ton of money, so, you know, it's not like, it doesn't really apply, I guess, to what we're saying, but.
I collect rocks. Good for you, monk. Good for you. They sell rocks on Amazon, do they? Is it Prime eligible? Then I don't give a fuck.
I collect enlightenment.
Yeah, sure you do. Yeah, I bet. You know, though, loser. That's the thing I was thinking about the other day. Yeah, loser. I was thinking about this the other day. Because, you know, human beings, right? Yeah. We're selfish.
Yeah.
I mean, you just look at current times and you can go, geez, all we care about is our own little universe, our own little bubbles. You know, we are all just actors in our own play and we don't care about anybody else out there in the world. They are insignificant pieces of crap, right?
Speak for yourself, man.
Okay. Well, I'm saying.
I'm a monk.
Yeah. Okay. Enjoy that rock collection, asshole. But I mean, the thing is society's going to collapse. I would think sooner than later, but I mean, it could be 20 years from now. It could be 100 years from now, right?
Yeah.
We don't know, but the world's going to eventually go dark again. It's going to have to. Or maybe the robot uprising is finally going to happen, and then we all become fucking meatbag slaves. I don't know. Maybe. But what I was trying to get to is, like, my comic collection right now, or any of the things I collect, has a monetary value.
Right.
You can put on it.
Okay.
I could call an insurance company. They could come and assess what I have and say, this is what your shit is worth.
Yeah.
But when society collapses, when the human beings just fucking put their hands up in the air and go, whatever, chaos shall reign.
Mm.
I hope my comic collection is worth at least two goats and a bundle of sticks.
Maybe it is. It at least has some value. They're books for the most part. Not the plastic, but the comics, you know. They provide, some kind of entertainment.
Yes, right. Exactly. And that's going to have value.
Okay.
Even in apocalyptic times.
Very good.
Because I can't fucking sell you the soundbar off my, I can't even sell you the TV itself. There's going to be no electricity probably, right?
Sure.
Or we'll be denied electricity yet again by fucking the T-1000 or whatever.
Yeah, man.
So what are you going to do? You're going to read? Maybe coloring books are going to be worth like a bushel of berries.
Could be.
I don't know.
Man. Yeah. You know what? I think that our humanity is the only reason that we're like, oh, we're going to go into this dark dystopian future. It's because I think movies have shaped us into just like accepting that that's what's going to be the future. And we just like are subconsciously going in that direction because we've all been attuned to. I think, I know that doesn't make sense, but listen, you were talking about robots and Terminators and meat sacks and like almost like Matrix type using humans for batteries and whatever. And I did just see that new shitty Matrix movie recently, but
sure.
But what I'm going to say is I think what that Matrix movie got me thinking that for example, The Matrix, They Live, and there was one more. What was the third one? I don't know. But I was saying there's a few of these. Oh, Eyes Wide Shut. They've done more for like people going off the rails and like conspiracy theories beginning and like all this stuff than, you know, they've done so much damage. Because if you go I know this is kind of off topic, but we're not really on topic, so it doesn't matter.
Sure, go fucking buck wild, motherfucker.
I'm just saying, I've been so disheartened seeing all this, like, it feels like in the pandemic and all this, like, people have just gone crazy and everyone's in their own homes, like, the algorithm's feeding them the same stuff they've been watching and just cementing their points of view, so you never see anything outside your point of view. But most of those points of view and all the kind of rabbit hole type videos are all about, like, secret societies and, yeah, these dystopian futures, and maybe we're all, like, the concept of red-pilling people out of their beliefs, like, oh, you know, they call it the red pill, you know, I red-pilled that guy, like, he got red-pilled, which, you know, means, oh, you're awake to the truth now, and it's, like, this terminology that these lunatics kind of use to be, like, you know, but it's because you've seen these movies and they've implanted these ideas in your head. And yes, conspiracies, some do exist, but I think the prevalence and the way people are able to, like, compile their ideas and be like, this is what's happening. And it's an arc of what's happening. It's all based on this sci-fi movie I saw once, or, like, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah, I get
we're
you.
All living in a matrix, dude. It's like the world is all fake. It's like you just said the name of a movie. Like, you know, you're not even hiding that our idea comes from a movie. You're saying we live in this matrix. It's like, I don't know, but that's just a random thought I had.
It is, you know, and it is random, but it's not far from, you know, I mean, like you said, people use the terminology from things. I'm probably influenced by, I mean, I watch so much fucking TV and movies, it's obscene.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're influenced by things, you don't even realize that's what's going on. So when I talk about, yeah, okay, society's going to collapse and humankind is fucked.
Yeah.
I, you know, I'm basing it right now on what I see and how we could all be dealing with a problem, unifying behind something, having compassion for others and treating other human beings with respect. But yet here we are when we've had the platform to do such a thing, and we've gone completely backwards and turned it into a political fucking dogfight and misinformation and every fucking terrible thing. So I don't like thinking the future is going to be crap. I would want to think it's going to be this beautiful utopian society. But man, we're not getting there anytime soon.
Right.
The alternative is much more likely to happen. Doom and gloom, I mean, is, to me, feels inevitable.
Yeah.
Because of what we're dealing with right now. And yes, I am talking about the pandemic. And yes, I am talking about the political landscape of this country for the last, you know, 6 years and even beyond all that, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, I don't know, man, but when shit does finally hit the fan, if it ever does, this guy is going to be fucking wealthy in virgins. And yeah, Monk, I'm taking your rocks for that copy of fucking Daredevil 226.
Damn.
Okay? I'm taking your rocks. I mean, I don't know. And, you know, it's like we talk about something like this going dark, yet we're also living in a time where everything is so based on in the internet, really. I mean, cryptocurrency, all this stuff, way we communicate, the way you and I are communicating right now, how we are communicating with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we're so reliant, so dependent on this, technology that we have, which is a beautiful thing that we still, all of us can't agree on either.
It's a tool. Like, the internet alone has been one of those things in our lifetime, and we've seen a ton of advances in our lifetime, from, you know, like, medical advances to entertainment to, the internet alone is just, it's changed everything. It's, you know, as relevant in history, more relevant than, you know, the telephone and, you know what I mean? Like, like all these great inventions. It's like the internet is connecting everyone pretty much in real time, and it's amazing, and we are able to talk to more people than ever and be, globally connected, but at the same time, we're doing it from these little screens, and thus we're more isolated and alone than we've ever been, because you don't have to leave the house anymore. And it's strange that's just how the way things are going. And it's not good or bad. I guess it's just the way things are going. You know,
we're relying on it. We can't live without it now.
Right. Know? But it's like I was saying, it's a tool and it's an amazing thing, but yeah, it can be used for weird. Yeah. It can be used for great things, conveying information and doing this, but it can also be used for conveying misinformation and for bullying, as we've seen, and all these things. It's like revolutionized and amped up so many things, good and bad, in society that, like, I don't know, it is really fascinating to watch. And sometimes I think in life, I'm like, I'm just here to kind of observe. And I mean, I take part in life, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, we all are just observing how society's going and being that whole phrase, being, you know, in the world, but not of it. If I can avoid it, like, there's a lot of stuff that I just, I watch from a distance, and part of me goes, boy, I'm going to be glad. I'm glad I'm going to be dead in like a couple of decades, geez. Because I'm like, shit's getting crazy. I don't know if I want to hang around, you know?
Holy moly. Yeah, I mean, that's wow.
I mean, I know we have, you know, the next generation. We both have kids that we love, and we want to live in a good world. But, like, part of me is just like, man, shit's getting so crazy. Yeah, you guys can handle this.
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying. I mean, I'm kind of like in the background going, oh, geez, oh, boy, oh, you want to be dead? Because, you know, it's a dramatic statement or a drastic decision. I don't want to be there. I don't want to see what's going to happen. So if an oracle said to you, hey, man, do you want to know what happened in the past to this mysterious figure that no one knows anything about? You'd say yes, because I don't want to know what the future holds in 75 years, because I sure as fuck know it's not a DeLorean and a man in a puffy vest. Orange vest flying around, you know, it's going to be fucking weird. I don't want to touch that shit. It's going to be something I really can't understand. I'm too old for this shit. I don't like it. Yeah. Boo-hoo. Yeah. Boo-fucking-hoo.
I thought that was a life preserver.
Yeah, no. You're a funny guy. You know, someone recently asked me what my favorite movie was of all time, and I could not answer them. And I was saying one thing that I find very relevant to maybe picking a favorite is that Back to the Future actually kind of inspired my style.
Yeah.
So I don't own a winter coat. I own a vest.
Right on. Yeah.
Because like Marty McFly is cool because he has a vest. So sure. Is that my favorite movie, since I will never wear a regular jacket again? I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe, man. My favorite's Big Trouble in Little China.
So. See, that's easy for you. I can't do that. I was like, Boogie Nights, Forrest Gump, Jaws.
Yeah.
I was like fucking floundering like a moron, just fucking throwing movies out there.
They're all good movies. Those are all
Terms
good
of
choices.
Endearment. Yeah, I mean, they're all
Shawshank.
Good choices. Shawshank. It's just hard to throw out your absolute favorite. Do you remember when we were kids?
Yeah.
And I used to term kids, but we were teenagers. There was a magazine called the Worcester Phoenix.
Of course. We used to both work at a place that printed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you do remember, considering we were doing
we both worked there.
That was a stupid thing to say. Do you remember?
I do personally, but maybe our audience needed
Well, okay. Well, let's go a little bit deeper with that. They had that section with like the top 10 lists, top 10 albums, and they would have someone submit who was in a local band, who their top 10 albums were.
Oh, yeah.
And I always check that out and be like, oh, cool, that's a pretty obscure pick, much like your t-shirts. Or that's random, that's a cool thing, you know. But I was wondering, like, if I had to do that now, I wouldn't be able to say what are my 10 top 10 of pretty much anything except for maybe comic books. I really would have a hard time trying to, you know, nail down entertainment as far as, yeah, this is the best, man.
Do you think when you said you could do comic books, do you mean titles or issues that you could pick 10 of? Could you pick 10 issues, individual issues?
As far as the best of all time? As deemed by
you, that you've read, that you're aware of?
Yeah, I'm sure if I sat down and thought about it, I could come up with 10 and do that. But there's a caveat to all that, where I'd probably say, okay, this one's really good, but you got to remember the context in which the time it was released, or, you know, there's always the asterisk involved in it.
Yeah.
Because there's always someone on the internet that we were just saying to argue with you while they're in their underwear in their mother's basement.
That's what the internet's for.
Yes. Yeah, that was a stupid pick. Oh, God, that was a bad idea. How could you say that? It's like, well, if you remember, that came out in 1984 and nothing was done.
Right.
Previously to that time, that we should hold a torch to the concept. And, you know, I don't want to get in that talk.
I'm with you, though. I'm with you, man. I think it would be hard to pick.
Top 10 albums of all time, Nate.
No way. It would take me a long time to do that. I don't even know if I could do it.
Mm.
I could narrow it down to maybe top 25, but yeah, man. Yeah, I was thinking of that recently when I was trying to prepare my Nate's Notes segment for this episode. Like, it kind of factors in about just how much music there is and how much I've heard in my life. And I mean, I guess I'll wait till I do the actual segment so you can see what I'm talking about.
Let's savor that.
But that's not exactly what it's about, but that kind of factors in, I guess. But anyway, just how much music there is and how much I've heard and how, I don't know, there's so much of it, man, you know, but I don't know, that some of us have been exposed to over the years is almost like it's too much to even like comprehend and to even remember everything. But anyway, that's a talk for.
Yeah, in a few minutes. We're going to be getting to that soon. So fucking hold your horses there, Kemosabe.
Okay.
I can tell you one thing, an absolute certainty. The top 10 exotic dancers of all time was Would You Like a Private Dance Lady from The Lamplighter 2?
With the beads.
With the beads. She was number one with a bullet.
She was worth all of your brother's money that night.
Yeah, it was probably like $37. But that's, you know, she probably fucking, I don't even know what she did with that money. Oh, God. I was going to say feed her 10 kids or something. What kind of asshole am I?
Probably went in her arm.
Oh, now you're the asshole. Let's fucking flip-flop back and forth, baby. What's the most terrible thing we can say?
It's about the Lamplighter 2.
Yeah, this poor 70-year-old exotic dancer lady, you know. Man, this episode is fucking crazy today, huh? We haven't talked in a while. We've been all over the map.
That's all right. I like it.
From fucking tip to tail here, we're covering a lot of ground. I mean, even though you never reciprocated the question about the holidays to me.
Oh, how was
I asked
your
about your holidays, like, 30-some-odd minutes ago, and we just went like a locomotive, baby.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I did mention the whole plastic thing, so I was kind of like, hey, what about me? Hey, let me talk about me thing. So, and that's the voice my inner child makes, just so everybody knows. That's what goes on inside my head when I feel sad, mad, depressed.
Mm. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, how about this? How about we stop talking for now about life? About how old we are, about the damn fucking new generation and how they're going to fuck us all in the booty hole.
About prostitutes and strippers and exotic dancers.
Yeah. We don't want to see the future. We're scared of the future. Mm. And talk a little bit about our partners of the show. Does that sound good? Good for you? Is that cool? Is that hip? Is that with it?
It is.
Well, let me take a sip of my beverage here, which is coffee. I fully endorse coffee as a partner of the show.
Excellent.
Prior before I talk about these guys. So bear with me. Mmm. That is good stuff. Nate, what are you drinking over there?
I am drinking Yingling.
Not a fan.
Traditional lager.
Not a fan of that brand. I'm sorry. There's a lot of fucking talking about it. About, look at this Yingling from Pennsylvania. They're everywhere now. They're in Texas and everywhere else. You got to try this beer. And to me, it's just whatever's beer.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how I am, too. I don't really drink a lot at all. So when I have one, I'm not picky. So I'm drinking it because that's what there is in the house. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that works. All right. So first up on the Partner Express here, that does not include Yingling beer. What a fucking stupid name that is, too. It's got a U in it. How do you pronounce it like that?
I don't know. It's supposedly the oldest beer the oldest brewery in the company, I guess.
Yeah, well, as you and I both know, we've discussed for the last God knows how long, just because you're old doesn't necessarily mean you're any good.
That's a good point.
So, yes, thank you very much. We got Northland Vapor. I love Northland Vapor because as a former smoker, I vape a ton, and I like having awesome e-liquids, and the only stuff I can actually vape comes from northlandvapor.com. Trust you me, you try every other brand, and it tastes like chemical, yucky, icky, cucka, crap. I cannot stand it. It's a noticeable difference whenever you switch from Northland to a different flavor from some of those imposters. And yes, I will call them imposters because they stink. Northland Vapor has the best e-liquids around. They are diketone and artificial sweetener free, which is a big deal. Like I said, especially in that flavor. So it doesn't have that synthetic, I want to say like the Diet Coke or diet
saccharin.
Yeah, exactly. Just gross, man. Yucky. Don't like it. But anyway, make sure you check them out at northlandvapor.com. Not only do they have the e-liquids I'm so fond of, they also have all the things you would need to start on your vaping journey. So if you are a smoker, you want to quit, or you know someone and love someone and want them to quit smoking, send them over to northlandvapor.com. Also, while you're there, they got some brick and mortar retail locations. So if you visit their website, you can find them easily, much more easy than if I was to rattle off those locations to you right now. So,
ooh, nice.
Yeah. You like how I did that?
Slick.
Yeah, I am a slick mofo. Next up, we got alpinehemp.com. Alpine Hemp is your go-to for all your CBD products. Anything under the sun, you name it, they got it. Heck, they even got CBD for dogs. Which, if you had a dog like mine, I'm sure she's very stressed out and very upset with her owner and can't afford therapy, so why not just turn to CBD? But you can check them out at alpinehemp.com. They also have deathbygummybears.com and wonkyweeds.com under their very awesome umbrella. Now at both sites, Alpine Hemp and northlandvapor.com, you can use code SELLINGOUT19 for 19% off your entire order, which is dope as fuck. And last but not least, we got Spunk Lube. Yep, Spunk Lube. What else can I say about Spunk Lube, Nate? But listen, guys, you know, sometimes you want to make things a little bit more fun in the bedroom for your significant other, and is an easy way to do it, and that's by visiting SpunkLube.com. It's an award-winning lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? You can now have Spunk Lube delivered discreetly to your door, so why wait? Visit SpunkLube.com today, and you can thank me later. And now, without further ado, as we alluded to earlier, it's time for a little piece that we like to call Nate's Notes.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
My father has this great collection of vinyl. Hundreds of records. Had pretty much all of them since before I was born, or at least since before I can remember. There's only one that I can actually remember him getting, and I was so young, even those memories are super cloudy. I believe it was Christmas, and my dad got a copy of Pink Floyd's album, A Momentary Lapse of Reason, which was new at the time, in 1987. If you're interested, that was the first one they did without Roger Waters, the one with the songs Learning to Fly and On the Turning Away on it. Now, even though a lot of the details are fuzzy, the music has always stuck with me. It's the first album I remember really discovering and exploring. I'd put it on the turntable with help from my folks, and then I'd open the gatefold, read the lyrics as I listened, and look at the artwork. I'd say it was the first album I ever really appreciated as a whole package. The thing is, apparently, Momentary Lapse of Reason is not generally loved by Pink Floyd fans. As I mentioned, it was done without Roger Waters, who was a primary songwriter and conceptual artist, their bassist and sometimes singer. It's also very of its time at points, and its time was the 80s. In retrospect, I suppose it doesn't hold up as well as some of their earlier work. But as an 8-year-old kid in 1987, it sounded pretty rad to me. And as a result of my good memories associated with it, I enjoy it more than a lot of people probably do. A Momentary Lapse of Reason and the movie Big Trouble in Little China, which both came out around the same time. These two pieces of work both come across as pretty quintessentially 80s at points, but they both hit me right at that special age, and they both have stuck with me. The things you think are cool at, like, age 7 or 8 will always seem cool to you, deep down in there somewhere. But back to the record collection. Now, it's been years since any of those records have even been played. My dad dubbed many of them onto cassette tapes, which were a lot smaller and less delicate. Plus, you could play them in a car. The records started coming out less and less. Eventually, that old 1980s turntable fell by the wayside and ended up in a landfill somewhere. And those couple hundred records have sat, filed away in the back of a closet ever since. It's a really impressive collection, and I don't even know what gems are hidden in there. Oddly, I've never really gone through them. They're kind of big and clunky, and it's almost physically daunting to start flipping through that many. By the time I was old enough to start collecting music and playing it on my own stereo, it was the early 90s, and it was all about CDs. The first discs I remember getting were Nirvana's Nevermind, which was new at the time, Faith No More's The Real Thing, and Empire from Queensryche. Back then, you would hear a song on the radio or on MTV, and if you liked it, you had to shell out like $20 and cross your fingers that the rest of the album was good too. There was no internet, no downloading individual tracks. You could buy the single, but even those were like $5, and often they only had the one song and a B-side, which was sometimes just a remix or radio edit of the A-side track. My point is that it was a little expensive for a young kid. As I progressed into my teens, I started getting into more niche genres, mostly industrial music and eventually techno or experimental ambient stuff. There were a few stores that carried the things I was looking for, but a lot of these CDs were imports from Europe or Asia, and they could run you up to like $30-$35 a piece sometimes. At some point, a person who shall remain nameless tipped me off that if you just remove the little security tag sticker thing from the CD, you could walk out the door of the shop without setting off the alarm. It was the era of big baggy clothes, so it wasn't difficult to fit a couple of CDs in my pockets or concealed under my coat. Thus began my criminal enterprise and also my questionable moral code, or lack thereof, I guess. At that age, I didn't factor in that I was basically stealing from the artists I enjoyed. I mean, to be fair, the majority of that money probably would have gone to the store and the record companies, but it's obviously better to support the artists by actually buying their work. Just ask Lars Ulrich. I guess I was pirating music before it was cool. You can call me Nady Napster. Looking back, I feel like my addictive personality was already rearing its ugly head because, man, I ran with that shit. Instead of paying $20 and finding out that there was only one good song on the album, I would walk out of a store with 16 CDs, some of them just because the artwork was cool. I amassed a few hundred CDs. My friends would drive me to record stores and point out stuff that they'd like, and I'd grab it for them. I'd take lists from kids at school and charge them $5 a CD. That was essentially my high school job, As I got older, I got into hard drugs and found that the skills I developed at that high school job served me well in my career as a junkie. But that's another story. The weird thing, other than the fact that I never got arrested or even caught, really, is that I found that I was appreciating the music less the more of it that I accrued. When I was young and had to pay $20 for a new album and it didn't suck, I found that I really savored that album. It was like that first experience with Pink Floyd. I'd read along to the lyrics, I'd stare at the artwork, I'd get to know each song individually, as well as appreciate the way they'd flow into each other. There are whole albums from back then that I still recall note for note 30 years later. When I would walk out of a store with 13 CDs, I found that I'd just skim through each one, looking for some track that made that disc stand out from the other dozen I got on just that day alone. Sometimes I wouldn't even get to all of them. I got to check out a ton of bands, sure, but I never really immersed myself in what they were each doing. Nowadays, we are past all of that. Now, many of the people listening to this who think less of me for stealing CDs have probably downloaded some music illegally themselves. Or actually, now you can just stream music legally, so you don't realize the artist is often getting screwed. Oh, well, they were getting screwed by the record companies back then, so what's the difference? At least now they don't have to sign a shitty contract to even get their art out into the world. But I find I often face the same issue today that I had back in my delinquent youth. There's so much to check out that I don't usually take the time to really sit with an album. I also face that whole option paralysis thing. I'll go to put on some tunes, and there are so many choices that I can't even decide. And I feel like I'm not in the mood for anything, which is weird for a guy whose life has been so enriched by music. But I try to keep checking out new artists. I try to listen to whole albums to get the whole vibe. There are still bands who intentionally put together whole albums and don't just compile songs randomly. And even though I'm never actually holding a physical record sleeve or CD inlay, I try to immerse myself in them. I mean, sure, it's a lot easier to just type in a title and hit play, or to just verbally make a request to Alexa, the creepy robot who lives in my house and listens to all my conversations. But sometimes I miss having a physical copy to hold in my hand. Something with weight and mass and pictures and words on it. Maybe I should start collecting vinyl.
Okay, Nate, very interesting, because I remember that period of time vividly.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had my requests for you as well, because, you know, it's funny. You relate that whole thing about stealing music to now, where it's like, don't pirate.
Yeah.
Everybody, don't you dare pirate. You're stealing from the artist.
Yeah.
Don't be a fucking pirate. But really, I can relate it to, like, if you read a sample of a book, maybe you'd be inclined to buy the book. Well, you had mentioned that a lot of times you'd pay a lot for an album and only be one good song on it. So you were like the Robin Hood of good vibes.
Yeah, man. I think that artists never really made a ton off sales so much as it's always been like touring and other merch. I mean, you know, record companies took so much and it was like, I don't know. It just seems like now, yes, it's hard for a band to achieve that huge, huge success, but everyone can potentially get listened to. If you put your stuff on the internet, there's a chance, like, somebody could hear it, you know, like, they may have a hard time finding it off, like, just randomly, but at least it's there. Like a band CD was not just randomly in a CD shop in Thailand back in the day. Like nobody in Thailand was going to accidentally hear your song. Now they could, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not going to guilt shame you either, which I think a lot of people would be, inclined to do so by rationalizing, oh, well, you know, okay, I feel bad now, for stealing that back in the day. You know what I mean? But yeah. You were a kid. You fucking did shit kids do. Kids do that stuff, right or wrong, yeah, man. Right?
For sure.
It's just something that happens or did happen or will still happen because yeah, kids steal shit. Fucking bazooka bubble gum, fucking albums. It doesn't matter. Your heart. It doesn't matter.
Dude, that's true.
You know what
our
I mean?
Our listeners by now hopefully understand that I led a less than perfect, you know, youth. Like, There's a lot of stories worth. If you're shocked by me stealing CDs or look down at me for stealing CDs, you know, maybe you should stop listening to me.
Well, the process behind it was actually pretty brilliant as far as thievery goes because you had a thumbtack and a Band-Aid on your thumb.
Oh, man, you're revealing the techniques.
Yeah, and you used to slice around the little sticky...
Yeah.
Anti-theft device and pull it off and stick it to another CD. So that was, I mean, when you're like 15, 16, you're like, Jesus Christ, you're like brilliant.
Yeah, it was pretty smart. And that's what's funny. Like I said, I'm not going to reveal who showed me how to do that or who developed that technique. But it was like, yeah, you'd put a thumbtack like on your thumb so the little point was sticking up off your thumbprint and then you'd wrap a Band-Aid on, you know, put a Band-Aid on. So it just looked like you had a Band-Aid on your thumb, but you had a little spike and you could just hold the CD like you're looking at it and like slide your thumb around the plastic, like the cellophane that was, you know, that the sticker was on and it would just cut it right off. And so yeah, all of my CDs had a little like rectangle scratched into the plastic case because it was like I was scratching the tag off it.
Much better than having the barcode replaced with BMG.
Yeah, right.
That was lame, man. Very lame. But it's also interesting how you brought up records in your dad's record collection because vinyl now is back in a big way. That's true. Even with physical media, I can relate it to Ghostbusters Afterlife, right? I will not currently go see a movie in the movie theater to save my life because one thing about the pandemic I wholeheartedly endorse is like, or liked about it was, hey man, it's not cool to go to the movie theater anymore because I hated going there anyway. Yeah. But I guess my point is my brother just bought it digitally and was like, hey, I got Ghostbusters Afterlife. I'm like, well, I pre-ordered my copy of the DVD. Thank you very much. And he's like, well, why don't you just watch it now? And I said, no. If I'm going to pay for it, I want the physical copy of it.
Yeah, and besides, you don't want to watch it before you have your copy, because then if it sucks, you're like, shit, I've spent money on this and it hasn't even gotten here yet.
Cancel that
shit.
Yeah,
you could cancel it, I guess. Yeah, maybe you should watch it.
But that's something recent in my life that just happened, a conversation I just had about the whole thing, digital versus physical media.
Yeah.
I'm more apt to read a book digitally because I have a tablet where I can keep all those things. Where in movies, when you do digital codes, I have them scattered all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't have like one uniform library of my movies. So I kind of avoid the whole digital thing with that anyway. And as we alluded to earlier, when the shit hits the fan, I'm going to want that physical copy of Ghostbusters Afterlife to use as a mirror to shave.
That's all it's going to be good for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm going to find another use for it.
Well, you could read the synopsis on the back and if there's any like liner notes, just like the CDs. The CDs are good too in vinyl. You can just look at them.
Well, that, you know, that's another thing you mentioned was how you got lost in the album art.
Yeah, man.
And reading the notes, which really, I know as far as movies go, doesn't happen anymore. You basically open up your case and there's like an ad inside for something else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I will always bring up the Boogie Nights release on DVD as being one of the greatest DVD experiences you could ever have. It comes with booklets. It folds out. It's multiple discs. And that was also very popular back then at the early 00s. With these, or even the late 90s with DVD purchases, they really wanted you to buy them. So they made them a special thing, something that you wanted to own. And of course, in the theme of this episode, collect.
Yep.
Now fucking forget about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just bought a CD for the first time. I feel like I throw around the, oh, I haven't done this in 20 years. I haven't done that in 20 years, but it probably has been that long. So don't kill me over the inaccurate decades sighting here. But for my wife, she wanted the new Adele release. And she has a CD player in her car.
Oh, right on.
So I was like, well, let me get you the CD because you love Adele that much. I'm sure you'd appreciate the disc. And she did. She really, like, she's around my age, so she thinks it's cool.
Sure.
Even though, much like you had also just talked about, we could just tell the little plastic disc sitting on our desk to play it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she wants the physical copy of it. And that did have notes and lyrics, and I thought that was pretty hunky-dory.
Yeah, you don't see that. Yeah, when you get a downloaded copy of it, it's like, yeah, you can check out the artwork online. But, it, yeah, like I said, there's something about the mass of it, the weight of it, like having something physical. And especially, I mean, I never was into collecting vinyl. And like I said, I never really have even gone through my dad's record collection, but it's, those are even more, like, it's a huge thing. Like the, like record art back in the day was like, they went into a lot, you know, they went to great lengths to make it impressive and worth your,
right,
you know, worth your money. It was a whole package. So
the one thing I will say is a negative to any form of physical media is having to lug it around or move it. So if you do not have a quote unquote forever home and you do have to relocate, it's, oh my God, collecting shit. That's when it sucks. I mean,
yeah.
And I can totally understand someone who's like, yeah, I went digital because I'm sick of having all these boxes or I have no more storage space. Recently did this thing where I considered it sacrilege for many years that I would ever keep my comics in something other than a long box. Now, I was conflicted over switching to short boxes. This is a long box at half the size. But still, I was like, oh, short boxes? Losers. Those things are... No, you want a long box. And I'm like, I can't even lift these things anymore. I get so many comics. My back is hurting, baby. There's not enough CBD in the world to make me feel better after I lift one of these sons of bitches. So I'm converting.
You need pallbearers.
Yes.
You each box.
Yeah, right. Six dudes on either side. And so now I'm like, well, you know what? I don't care. I'm converting everything to short box because file cabinets are too expensive, and this is just an easy thing to pick up and fucking go. But yeah, I mean, I can really only see that being the biggest detriment to owning anything is just your limited space or your ability to pick the damn shit up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Dude, you want to know a funny thing? And I don't want to, I'm not trying to out anyone here, but like it's been decades and decades, even
20
longer
years?
Since my, no, longer oh, since, okay. even longer than my admissions in that Nate's Notes. But the ironic thing is I found out way later, like as I got older, that a lot of those, the vinyl my father has was he used to work at like a library and he would just order extra copies from the library, like say that they wanted, like, cause he was in charge of like ordering the, you could borrow vinyl, certain records at the library. So he would order like extra copies and then just take those. So his were kind of ill-gotten, some of them too. So it was kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so kind of weird.
I learned it from watching you. That's like a PSA on theft.
Yeah. Weird, but I didn't know it until after I did my thing. I didn't find out about that till like, I'm talking within the last decade. So it's
you
like.
Finally confessed, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, I think, I don't even think so. I think, you know, not to put her out there, I think my mom told me.
Oh, okay. She confessed she couldn't live with your father's sins no longer.
Exactly. It was tearing her apart.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure she couldn't sleep at night knowing that copy of Eddie Murphy Raw was obtained in an illegal manner in a scam.
Yeah.
You know, jeez Louise.
That was back in the 70s, though. I'm talking like that he worked.
Oh,
there,
true,
you know?
True. I'm hitting you with 80s stuff. We got to go way back, the way back machine.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart, but though. I like that. I mean, we've talked, I think we've even talked on the show before about stealing the CDs or the Columbia House scams and all that stuff that we all partook in. And I mean, just any way to get your music, man, get your fix. But you should totally look at those LPs. Because,
I know.
You know, not only are they, some of them probably worth money, but you'd mentioned the album art. They could be frameable. They could be just cool things to have around or, you know.
Yeah.
Do they smell
That's
good?
True.
Do they have like a musty smell?
They do, but the cool thing is, like, I think some of the ones that were ordered from that with from the library or whatever had like these extra cases on them, so they're even protected. They're Ooh. Like, yeah, they're like not, I don't know, some kind of clear plastic over them, you know, almost like plastic upholstered furniture, you know, when you have plastic over your furniture, it's sure. like that almost, but covering the actual whole case, the whole record.
Isn't so, that something? Right on.
Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, they're pretty well preserved.
How many records are we talking about now? What was it? Like you said hundreds?
Yeah, a couple hundred. I honestly couldn't even tell you. Like I know it's a few rows. Like vinyl is thin, you know, each yeah. copy is very thin. And it's, you know, it's a pretty wide closet and it's like they're standing up, you know, next to each other, like your comics in the long box. It's, I would say it's, I'm trying to think how big your long boxes are. But anyway, it's, yeah, it's easily a few hundred. It covers the back wall of this closet. It's, I don't even know. I'm learning now, like as I'm saying this, that yeah. closets are relative. Like nobody, a closet is not a length of space.
Yeah. But, no, so yeah, it's a tough gauge.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a few hundred, though.
Yeah, it's quite a few. Yeah, definitely go through those. You should catalog them. I mean, I know there's like apps you could probably use to even keep track of them.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. I need to. It's just such a big undertaking that we haven't done. My father wants to do it, too. You know, my mother and father have been talking about doing it forever. But none of us have really
pushed it away.
And they haven't had, yeah, and they haven't had a good turntable in forever, so they haven't even really listened to them. And yeah, one day we'll go through.
Well, there you go. There's a Christmas present of the futures. Go buy a record player. They are easily had now. It's
I know.
Like
I know
said,
they're back.
Yeah, exactly. It's where it's at. I remember when I was buying that CD for my wife. I was like, wait, what's this limited edition white vinyl and $40 oh, yeah. and this and that. I'm like, holy macanoli, people! Like. That's still a thing. Yep. I was always amazed by the picture disc.
Right.
Remember that was a, hey, check out this Voivod album.
Yeah. It's got a picture of the band. It's
yeah, exactly.
Piggy from Voivod.
I can't wait to scratch it all up by playing it with that needle picking up the funk. Oh, yeah.
But did you like Voivod just quickly?
No. That just randomly popped in my head. I wish I was that clever. Over the course of the last hour, I feel like I've rambled so much. I've done so much verbal diarrhea this time
That's
out.
That's what we are. That's right. What our show is.
Well, I just kind of hoped I could have voivoded earlier. Because that was a good out of the
That's
blue.
That's a good reference.
Yeah. Where the sure. hell have I
love Voivod. Yeah.
You love Voivod? You love them?
I do. They're fucking amazing.
Wow, look at that. Why the fuck did that come out of my brain?
I don't know. They just put out a new album, too. It just, like, came out. Or it's not even out. I think it's in February it's coming out, but they have a new single.
Yeah. Is it Weird. Going to be on picture disc?
I'm sure I could pick up or at least a limited edition colored vinyl.
Oh, yeah. The orange
I don't know
one,
about
the blue
picture
one,
disc.
The green one.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, very good. So, very good.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add about that? You got any other notes about Nate's notes?
Just that I hope I don't get, you know, I hope the statute of limitations is over. You know, I hope it's less than whatever it's been, 30 years.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not going to have Mr. Bookman coming to your door over the overdue library book from so many years ago. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, man. I just felt my pocket and I've got this wad of toilet paper in there.
Ooh.
And I don't know why.
Saving it for later. Hopefully it's clean.
Yeah, it looks clean, but why the fuck do I have a wad of TP in my pocket? Maybe that's another sign of old age. I should have a butterscotch candy in there.
Yeah. And at least it's not a hanky.
Yeah, but it looks
well, a handkerchief, you know, like a handkerchief.
Yeah, I don't understand the reusable thing.
Me neither, but
kill the trees.
Jesus.
I'm no hippie. Kill them fucking trees. I got to blow my nose. Look at this thing. You see it?
Yeah, that's why you've got it. You want to blow your nose?
Oh, it looks like a turd. It looks like I got a wad of a paper turd, a toilet paper turd in my pocket.
It is turd-like.
It's like a suppository or something. Why do I even have that? How did this get in here? I don't know.
Anyway,
is there
the mysteries.
Is there a toilet paper gremlin? Is there a little pixie? We're all running around, sticking little wads of paper in people's pockets. Yeah, they're coming to lock me up any day now, Nate. I'm going out in the public. I'm talking about the Pixies. Not the band, but the little imaginary creatures that randomly insert things in places they don't belong. Mm. And Pixie was not the name of the beaded exotic dancer, even though it could be, because I don't remember her real name.
Pixie.
So feel free to call her whatever you want.
Pixie from The Lamplighter.
Just pick for Lamplighter 2. Just please, someone take her up on that private dance. That would have been a mess. I'm wondering if my brother had said yes to that, if she would have put in that dish rag, like, on his lap.
Whoa.
And just fucking bump some grinds up on that.
that's her version of, like, safe. Yeah. It's just like a cloth.
And then kind of elaborate, too, which I should have done a long time ago, but the beads were dangly beads. They were like white. They were like almost like the Mardi Gras beads someone would wear. So it was not like a short necklace. There was quite a few of them. It's like entering the room of a stoner back in 1974. Probably your dad's room when he was listening to those stolen records.
Yeah.
Smoking some ganj.
I thought you had said she was rubbing beads all over her. I thought you meant like Benoit beads or something.
Benoit? Like,
put them up your butt beads, you know.
So a little double your pleasure, double your fun.
Yeah.
I got these beads. They go up your bum.
They're all covered in poop, and I'm rubbing them all over my titties.
hey, now. Poo beads. I think that's the sign.
That's a sign.
We got to go home.
Yeah.
The party's over. You can stay here because it's the internet. You can float in the ether, but we're not going to talk to you anymore. So I do want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to our humble little program. Hopefully we entertained you somewhat. Me and Nate do wholeheartedly enjoy conversating with each other. This no format radio. So we're really putting together the best possible radio program for you.
That's right.
This is our pregame. You ready? Hey, Nate, what do you want to talk about today? I don't know. What do you, Dave, what do you got? I don't know. Let's just be us. That's it.
That's about it, man.
Fucking organic, man.
Our secret's out, our technique.
Yeah. It wasn't always like that. If you've listened to some of our earlier episodes, we fucking boom, boom, boom. We got themes. We got blocks.
Wow, man. That's
we got true. Segments.
That's true. There's just too much. There's too much to talk about where we can't confine it to one topic. We just got too much to say.
Just lately, we've been letting it roll. So if you are down with that, you know, feel free to get in touch with us. You can contact us, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. We have social media, even though I've been so, I don't know, not cool.
I'm really bad about mine.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, man. It's fucking tiring, the social media shit. And it sucks you in, like, I don't know, man. I caught my wife the other day. I'm like, what are you doing with the phone in your hand? Oh, I'm watching stupid videos. You just admitted to me they're stupid. Wait, what are you fucking spending your time for watching them? I don't know.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And that's what it is. You're scrolling your life away. That's all we all do. You wake up. What's the first thing you do?
Check my phone.
You check your phone. Media. Yeah, and you're scrolling through shit, you're probably not even commenting or liking or anything. This is the news as I see fit. Wasting our lives with these fucking.
Hey. Yeah. Well, you know, we're trying to hype up the social media, our social media.
Oh, yeah. So check us out. Scroll by us,
even though we won't put anything up half the time.
Yeah. I mean, when there's a new show, I'll put it on something like our Instagram at Selling Out Show or our Twitter at Selling Out Show.
Right. Right.
You get the Facebook. Have you been doing anything with the Facebook?
Not lately, but you know, it's the new year. It's the new year. It's it's resolve.
2022, isn't that to do something trippy? Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, that be that. I am Dave. That is Nate, and this has been the Selling Out Show.
Peace. Why God, the devil looks so low?